What else are they hiding in the vaccines? Dark field microscopy, COVID-19 mRNA vaccine.
We're joined again today by Dr. David Nixon. He's been doing phenomenal work exposing the nanotech in the COVID-19 injections. The last time that he was on with us, he presented a world first of robotic arms forming what seems to be nano construction or even micro construction. And Dr. Nixon joins us again today with further findings. Thank you, Dr. Nixon, for your time.
Good morning, Maria. Good to be back.
It's good to have you. So talk us through what you're finding now, because you've said to me that there's more. There's, as you're digging more, you're finding more. What are we seeing now under the microscope?
Well, I think one of the key things, there's two key things that I'm keen to discuss today. One is some findings comparing the dark field microscopy and the bright field microscopy, which gives some sort of idea to the to an underlying feature behind what we're seeing is the bright glow on the structures. So I'm keen to just talk through that. And then I've also done a little bit of look at the microbots, as I'm calling, referring them to. And I've got some pictures of those that I'm keen to share as well.
Yes, please. Whatever you find. I mean, the more we dig, the more we discover, the closer we get to the answers that we're looking for. So please do, if you want to share your screen, Dr. Nixon, go right ahead.
Right, here it comes. Right, so I was keen just to go back to the beginning and just to show this video again, which is an illustration of what the liquid vaccine looks like under the microscope. Certainly quite a strange appearance. And in the center, we see a large amalgamation of separate structures which have come together. And we very commonly see this sort of thing floating in the liquid vaccine.
Well, after our last interview, Dr. Nixon, someone wrote an article on what they thought this might be, and they said it could be crystallization. I had a look at the comparative images that they provided. It looks nothing like what you found. I haven't seen such complex structures that look like crystals. I mean, that to my untrained eye, it's a completely different thing. I've never seen crystals that look like this, that have come together in this fashion either.
No, it's I'm certainly prepared to stake my career on the fact that these are not naturally occurring. This is technology.
Understood.
and it shouldn't be here.
I absolutely agree.
So this was one of the images I showed last time. And the reason I'm showing it again, as well as the fact that it's got some interesting internal structure, is that it was recently shown on UK television, along with two pictures by my colleague, Matt Taylor, who's an engineer currently living in Ecuador.
Yes.
So I thought I'd just quickly show this clip.
Sure.
Conspiracy theories.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there's a few about me. We should
tell us one.
There's one that Bill Gates and I conspired to create the vaccine for COVID in order to put microchips in everybody's bloodstream so that we can control people.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I do love a good conspiracy theory. And I wasn't going to tell him, but that was one that I kind of, believed. No, I didn't believe that. I didn't believe that.
And you can confirm that is not true.
I can confirm today that nobody's ever asked me that question.
You're not lying to us.
So I showed quite a few crystals last time that were really quite spectacular. So I was just going to go through the ones that I commonly see, and I've got hundreds of photos of similar crystals. I mean, just to remind viewers, these are the crystals that I see appearing within 12 or 24 hours of a couple of drops of Pfizer injectable being put on a glass slide using a dark field microscope.
These are very straight edges. These do not look naturally occurring to me in the slightest.
And there's internal complexity that doesn't appear to be natural either.
So is it just me? I want to ask, there appears to be a depth to these structures, Dr. Nixon. They're not flat.
This particular crystal is definitely three-dimensional. Yeah.
And I mean, how thick is this? Because something like this would surely be causing damage to the human body. There's no way that something thick like this could pass through the body and not cause some sort of damage.
Yes, I have no. Let me say it again. This is occurring in a droplet of vaccine on a slide. So I've got no way of knowing whether this process is happening inside the human body or after it's been injected. But clearly, if it is happening, then it has the potential to cause problems for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do go on.
So there was some comment following the last time we spoke about these crystals being naturally occurring. So I just wanted to look at how this particular crystal looked 2 months down the track. And I've also got a bright field image which shows some of the internal structure.
Sure.
So this is how that particular crystal evolved over 2 months. So it appears to have got smaller or shrunk into this background matrix, which is appears to have changed color and changed consistency. This structure and this structure weren't there previously. So just refresh.
Could I ask then, what were the conditions? Did the conditions change? Did the temperature change?
So all I did with this slide was I put it in a plastic slide case and I put it in a drawer at my desk and I just left it for 2 months. So it didn't have any special treatment.
Right.
But I wouldn't have expected it to change like this. You know, I expected there to be some degeneration or some other crystal overgrowth, but I certainly didn't expect to see this.
Right.
And this is actually a little bit darker than I'd hope it would come across, but this is a bright field image of that crystal as it is now, showing some of the internal structure. And although it's possible that all of this internal structure is due to bubbles in the crystal, they look remarkably like the other structures that I've been looking at.
So when we say internal structure, what are we talking about here? I mean, what is it that you think that you're seeing?
I'm just referring to this regular pattern of rectangles and squares.
Yes. But they don't look like bubbles to me.
They don't look like bubbles to me either. And certainly, given some of the other things that I've observed, that, you know, this looks like an unfinished project.
Yes, it does.
So just to summarise where my thinking is at the moment.
Sure.
That under the right conditions, spectacular technology can be produced from the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccines. Or injectables, as we should be calling them.
We should be, absolutely. These are not vaccines.
And these conditions seem to relate to the concentration of the vaccine, the temperature at which it's stored, and whether it's had sufficient exposure to electromagnetic radiation. And generally, that's been a wireless router. And certainly, a number of colleagues overseas have demonstrated the same.
Yes, Lakinta Kalamna have had those findings as well. It is consistent with multiple people that have been looking into this all over the world. So, and as we saw with you previously, you've said that once you put the findings into a Faraday cage, they seem to deconstruct, which is hence your call to end 5G and 4G everywhere in the world. And I understand that until we know what we can do to help people that have had this injected inside of them. I mean, granted, we don't know exactly what the construction is within the human body, but we can certainly see the possibility, considering this is what's happening under the right conditions, body temperature, so on and so forth. There is definitely that possibility.
There's certainly that potential.
Yes.
And something's I don't understand completely this being able to detect MAC addresses from people that have been vaccinated. And I'm sure you've up to speed with people,
yes,
people commenting about that. I don't understand how that's happening, but, you know, that's certainly a concern that's happening, and whether it's related to what I'm seeing or not, I don't know. But both things are obviously concerning.
I can personally attest to the fact that I did that little experiment in a shopping center, and I've done that experiment with the MAC addresses. I've seen it myself with a Bluetooth finder, and certainly have never seen anything like that before when searching for Bluetooth signals. So it's definitely happening, and multiple people around the world, again, Lakinta Kalamna, others, I recall an experiment that happened in a field, Dr. Nixon, perhaps you saw that, and some of the people, it was a mix of vaccinated, unvaccinated, or injected, uninjected. And those that had had the injections were displaying MAC addresses. And this was a computer in the middle of a field, and they were detecting this. So there have been sort of at-home experiments that have been conducted in this time. And that's what people have had to do, because we just don't have the answers from the so-called scientific community. They won't even touch this.
Right. It certainly limits our progress if we can't even discuss what we're seeing.
Absolutely. And Again, I said this in our last interview. If it's not happening, if we're completely off the mark, no problem. Just have the discussion explain to us what it is. Why are we finding this? But no, instead, we're not allowed to know the ingredients. Everything's blacked out. You go and you have a look at the sheet that's supposed to include all of the ingredients, side effects, everything. It's a blank sheet on the Pfizer injections. I mean, there is a reason why these things have been hidden from us. And they vehemently deny graphene oxide, despite the fact that so many people around the world have found it in the injections. Whether it's in the body or not, they found it in the vials.
My understanding is it can be quite difficult to be categorically sure that it's actually not there as yes. well.
Yes, absolutely. Do go on.
Well, the process that I've observed certainly appears to be a staged process. There's the formation of a lattice structure, and then the subsequent crystal formation, and then this formation of structures from the crystals. And from my observations, there appears to be a deconstruction process, and I'll show, I've got some new video of that to show today.
Sure.
A construction process, and I've re-edited that, showing more contrast, so that's probably really helpful. And a consolidation and testing process, which we can discuss today as well.
Yes, please.
I wonder whether there is a finishing process, because quite a lot of the structures that I've witnessed more recently are quite different from the ones that I showed last time. And just the comment that different conditions yield different results with respect to the appearance of structures, and whether that's the amount of Wi-Fi exposure or the temperature or timing or concentration, I'm not sure. But I will try and figure it out.
And I just want to say, Dr. Nixon, I really respect this process of scientific discovery. This is exactly what you're doing. This is real science, the process of elimination, the process of discovery, asking questions. This is exactly what we need to be doing. And you and I have spoken before about how that's just being stifled, especially with the new national law in Australia, silencing doctors, making it impossible for doctors to actually practice science. But please take us through I mean, I don't know what order you've got these in, but I'd love to see the deconstruction process.
Okay. Right. Well, I might just go to that quickly.
Sure.
So I'll stop share and just go straight to that.
Yes.
So we'll show the interesting stuff first, and then see how much time we've got at the end.
Absolutely. I mean, it's all interesting to me. I'm fascinated by it because for so long, especially like I said, for so long, we haven't been able to apply the scientific method to these injections. Doctors haven't been able to do it. Scientists haven't been able to do it. You get a handful of peer-reviewed studies released, and that's about it. Everything else is just in line with the narrative. So this is all fascinating to me because we're learning, and that's I don't know if people are against learning these days, Dr. Nixon.
Yeah, it certainly feels like that at times. So for some reason, I triggered a deconstruction process, and I can't put this in full screen because this presentation's got a bit big and the program's having connections.
That's okay.
But I'll just quickly rewind. So I think I showed this picture last time.
Not with me, but I'm certain you've done it on other presentations.
Right. So this is a drop of Pfizer vaccine that I left for 10 weeks in the top drawer. And when I came back to look at it, it didn't have the crystal structures around the periphery. Instead, it had all these structures on the inside.
Right.
And I took photos of all of them, I hope. but when I arrived the next morning, they're all gone. They're all disappeared. And it felt very much like building a Lego castle and coming in the next morning and somebody had destroyed it overnight.
And this was with EMF exposure limited or obliterated, right?
I'm not sure what the triggering process
right,
was
okay.
that triggered the self-destruction process. But within a very short period of time, like quarter of an hour, 20 minutes, the whole drop was covered in this lattice structure. Now, this is similar to what other people are reporting as the hydrogel.
Right.
I've got no evidence for that, but it's the most amazing process to watch all these straight lines cover this in real time. And as you can see, by the time I'd done the photo stitching and got to here, the process had already started. So everything had disappeared. All the so-called chip structures had disappeared, but there were a few crystals that were left. There was one here, and one off screen.
Was the router on?
The router was on this period. So I'm not sure whether Very it was router exposure or what it was that triggered this. And this is one of the crystals in that area, and you can see the lattice structures coming all the way up to it.
Yes.
This was another one that was a little bit further along.
Is it, I'm just, theory here, question, is it possible that that they would be, that because we saw last time the robotic arms and we saw how it was like something was programming them to pull this nanotechnology into place and limit certain areas and, you know, really form the shape. Is it possible that the EMF signals would be causing it to sometimes assemble, sometimes disassemble?
I certainly think there's an external control mechanism. I've got
right.
no idea how that's done, but presumably it's some form of frequency.
Right. Okay.
So this is a close-up of that crystal. And this was the crystal that I saw disassembling. But it took all weekend, and I had to speed up the video quite a bit. And this is what was quite a short segment of the video.
Sure.
And this is sped up about 400 times. But we can see that there's this these structures on the outside that could be interpreted as just junk. But it's quite easy to see that they are moving in a very coordinated fashion, and that the internal structure is getting changed. Although when I was watching this initially, I was unclear as to whether the structure was getting bigger or getting smaller, but eventually it disappeared, and I showed that last time. But this particular deconstruction process is actually simpler and easier to watch. So it involves this square here and this square here particularly.
Okay.
And over the course, I think it was about 7 hours, they slowly disappeared or were deconstructed or dematerialized to a different universe. I got no idea what this process is. It's really quite strange.
Wow. So what were the... Oh, it's gone.
Yeah, the one on the left's gone and the one in the middle is about to go.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
So what were the conditions under which this happened, Dr. Nixon?
Sunday afternoon in the surgery, about 24 degrees, air conditioning on.
So hang on, air conditioning was on. So
yep.
Does that mean that heat and cold, we know that they've recommended these vials need to be freezing temperatures. Does that mean that the cold might have affected this?
No, it wasn't that cold.
Okay.
And it wasn't directly on the scope. I don't think this was temperature driven, but I'm not sure what was responsible for this process. I'm not even sure what I'm looking at.
Was I appreciate your honesty, Dr. Nixon. Was the router on during this process?
The router was on. Yeah, it was
That is
definitely going.
fascinating. And have you kept this slide? Have they since reappeared?
They haven't, no.
That is fascinating.
And I've come to realize that these structures with the black balls, they are what I've seen in the other process is, part of the construction process. So I'll just find that one, the construction one that we've re-edited. I'll just quickly find it
Yes,
there.
sure. So I wonder whether that process of deconstruction can happen with the heat of body temperature as well, Dr. Nixon. Have you done a test
Yeah,
of
and
that?
no, and I probably don't have the facilities to be able to check that.
Right. Well, if anyone
So,
watching does have those facilities, it would be interesting to conduct that experiment and see what the outcome is.
this is the video that we showed last time, but I
Yes.
had we have improved the contrast just to make it more easy to see.
Right.
And I focused in on various areas.
Is it possible to remove the slider from the bottom if you hover over a different section, or is it going to stay there? Because I know that, oh well, you can see it, that little bottom arm.
Yes, this bottom one here.
Yes.
Yeah, I do focus in on that, so.
Yeah, okay, good. That's remarkable. But not in a good way. Again, for anyone who missed Dr. Nixon's last interview, we were looking at this over 3 hours sped up, and it was just fascinating to watch. But this is obviously, as you said, the contrast has improved. It's a bit easier to see. Is that one going to play?
Just having a bit of a connection there. So let me just take that back.
Sure.
Yeah. So one of the comments that Jamon Ianovich, one of my colleagues, has made is that the cloudiness that we see during this process could be the hydrogel plus a cloud of lipid nanoparticles.
Right. I have zero understanding about how those particular things work. Why does your
Well,
colleague say that?
the lipid nanoparticles can only be seen individually under an electron microscope.
Right.
But at this sort of magnification, they can, if you've got thousands or millions of them in one place, you can see that as a cloud. And potentially, the lipid nanoparticles could be involved with producing materials that are required for the construction of this.
Right. I see.
That's all complete conjecture, of course.
The lipid nanoparticles can be programmed too, can they not?
That I don't know.
If I'm not mistaken, Karen Kingston's proven that, provided
Okay.
evidence of that with me previously, but I've got her again very soon, so we'll have that discussion.
Right, okay.
It just looks so sinister and so frightening that this could be in human beings, Dr. Nixon. It's not good.
No, it's not good.
And even the possibility, even the fact that this is happening, okay, at a concentrated level on a slide under the microscope, not yet inside a human being, the possibility of what I mean, it could be worse once it interacts with human blood or other things inside the body. Like that's the reality. It could even be worse than this.
Yes, or it could be not nearly as bad because you're popping a small amount into a very large volume, and it may be that the design is for people to have lots and lots and lots of injections. And we certainly know that there were plans and that the Australian government bought enough for multiple.
Sure. Well, yes, and not just
I can't remember the exact figure, but it was just a crazy amount, wasn't it?
Well, here's the crazy amount. We're producing 400 million doses of mRNA injections moving forward out of Australia. The Moderna facility, in line with, in conjunction with Monash University in Victoria, 100 million doses. Vaxxas in Queensland, which is your little Band-Aid injection, 300 million doses a year. This is what they're planning on doing moving forward. They want to introduce mRNA into all injections, flu shots, RSV. Every single injection that they're bringing forward has mRNA technology, and we have to ask ourselves, is this type of thing going to be in all of the injections? One would think that if they've already put this in the COVID-19 injections, surely all of the other injections will be programmed with a similar thing. And the idea would be to put more and more of this nanotechnology capability into human beings so that it constructs bigger and bigger and bigger.
So you've got sufficient quantity. Yes.
Correct. And we talk about the Internet of Bodies, the fact that they say that we'll be synced with technology. It makes perfect sense to me that this is occurring and that this is the plan.
Yes, makes sense to me too.
Do go on, Dr. Nixon.
Unfortunately.
Well, unfortunately, but what do we do? Do we avoid the truth because it's difficult, or do we face it and see what we can do about it?
Correct. We've definitely got to face it. I definitely think we're at a point where we can reverse things. I've certainly got colleagues that are working very hard on treatments, and I know that other people around the world are doing that too.
Yes.
But we do have to face the truth, and we have to look at reality objectively.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. There's no use running and hiding from this. Just confront it, rip the Band-Aid off, as they would say, and see what can be done about it. And it's great minds like yours and your colleagues, Dr. Nixon, that are helping in that. So we're very, very grateful. But I don't mean to keep speaking over your slideshow. It's just, it's important to be upfront. That's the point I'm trying to make. What are we looking at here?
Okay. I think this is certainly a slide that I've shown previously. This was the structures that I found after 10 weeks. And then they were all gone. This is the same area. And very shortly after they disappeared, this lattice evolved. And so what I did was I popped another drop of vaccine just below here, and it slowly moved up the slide. So here I was thinking that I just destroyed all my beautiful structures and then I hadn't taken nearly enough photos. But they all grew back. And they grew back in multiples. So that's below the line. And that's above this structure, above this ribbon.
So that would suggest that there is some sort of a cumulative effect with more doses, or could be.
Well, it certainly could do. It could, or I probably can't make that assertion.
Sure.
But certainly I didn't need to worry that I was going to run out of things to photograph. So this is the structure. 2 days later. So that's
this is our little robot arm structure.
Correct. So if I just go to the end of this, so to remind you how it looked, so you can see that on that side there's very few lights. There's a few appearing there now. But here it's possible to see possible to see that there's a lot of lights visible.
When you say lights, what do you mean?
There's a lot of these discrete dots visible that weren't there previously.
Are they so for people who haven't, who aren't experienced with microscopy? I'm one of them. Would you normally see things lighting up under a microscope? Could this be blamed on reflection, or are these actually bioluminescent?
Well, initially, when I started looking at these, I assumed that all of this was light shining from below. But if that's the case, they shouldn't turn on or off.
Let's say that.
That one turns
right,
off.
So that one turns off.
Yeah. And it was still turning things on and off after 10 days.
Right. This is without adding any more to it. It was continuing
I was just watching it.
Right.
So then I started taking some bright field images or standard optical images. And what I found was that under all these bright lights, every single one of these bright lights, it was a perfect circle, there was a black donut. And it was almost always inside a rectangle. So the other thing is that you'll notice here how it moves around, a bit like a donut moving inside a rectangle, I reckon.
That's interesting.
It is. So then I started looking. That's the comparison. So that was the finished, after the construction finished. And that's where we ended up 2 days later.
It's definitely changing. I mean, even the position of some of those, what you call lights, those two circles there with the yellow and the green, moved position. Now there's only one.
Yeah. And I've got about 80 hours of footage to go through and make something out of, which I will do at some stage.
Well, we certainly appreciate the hours that you put into this. I'm sure when people see the finished product, they don't actually understand how many hours of recording and surveillance this actually takes. For the last interview that Dr. Nixon and I did, that was 3 hours of recording for a couple of minutes of footage. It really is a lot of time. So, you know, we appreciate your efforts going, you know, into that, Dr. Nixon. It's important.
It's certainly been a journey of discovery. I keep finding things that just blow me away.
I wonder your colleague, Matt Taylor, because he's an engineer, so he understands circuitry. What are his views on why it's changing?
So I've just had a recent discussion with Matt, and we've particularly looked at these structures, these so-called donuts. And yeah, he's certainly as perplexed as I am, but he's wondering whether they're some sort of a capacitor or some sort of energy supply.
Right.
So this is another one of the structures that grew on my second time. And you can see that under every bright dot, there is one of these.
The donuts.
The donuts. And they're usually inside the squares.
So that perfectly coincides with the side-by-side image right under the bright dots. Interesting. And we don't know what this is, but Matt Taylor, circuitry expert, says it could be some sort of an energy source.
Yeah. We'll get him on to have a chat about it.
Yes, that would be worthwhile, definitely. I'm in touch with Matt, so we can make that happen.
Cool. Okay, so this was another one. This also illustrates the fact that, due to the warmer weather conditions, I assume, although I'm not 100% sure, I've had this other crystal growth. But you can see there's a donut here. There's three here that correspond with these three lights. There's one here that corresponds with this one.
Right.
Not sure about this one, but these two were taken at different times.
Okay. So
there may have been a change. This is another structure that I was observing pretty closely, and you can see these three bright dots correspond to these three. These here corresponds to this here.
I wonder, Dr. Nixon, and maybe you don't have the answers to this, but this is just my mind ticking. The difference between the microscopy techniques, what would one technique show over another?
Well, the they do show quite different things, obviously, and they're quite used. I've spent most of my time looking at dark field images like this one.
Yes.
The dark field condenser condenses the light into a cone top shape, and then you put oil on top of the condenser underneath the slide. So there's a lot more light coming through. The bright field condenser concentrates the light as it comes through. So you get a very different appreciation of depth. And whereas with the dark field microscopy, you see more color and contrast. The light rays are diffracted through the oil.
Right.
So you do get quite a different appearance.
So I'm not just talking about appearance necessarily. I'm talking about I'm not really sure how to pose the question. With dark field microscopy, it's obviously showing you these appearing lights, disappearing lights. What is it about dark field microscopy, apart from the lighting, can it identify electronics compared to the other method?
No, so both of these forms of microscopy really can't analyze composition of structures they're both purely observational, but they're observing in different ways.
What equipment would we need to be able to analyze composition?
Yeah, I think there's certainly more sophisticated microscopes that can do that. Raman spectroscopy, scanning electron microscopy, but then instead of being a microscope that's in thousands of dollars, you're talking about microscopes that are in the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yes, I understand.
And when I investigated that locally, I found that most of them were had significant grant funding from Bill Gates or Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, Dr. Yeadon, former Pfizer chief scientist, said he'll believe that the possibility of graphene oxide when he sees it with Raman microscopy. Microscopy. and it was proven. So there you go.
Right. And this is just a similar example, and it's a close-up of it, the three lights and the three donuts inside the squares.
Yes.
So this obviously needs to be replicated, and somebody with the experience needs to say that I'm looking at cholesterol or I'm looking at nothing. There's nothing to see here. Oh, that's right. It's already been said. So this
out of interest, what does cholesterol look anything like that under a microscope?
No.
Okay.
So this is sort of like the counter example. You've got the dark field image on the left there with no bright lights visible, and then the one on the right, which has got no corresponding donuts. Right, and so these are a couple of small structures with bright lights, and the one on the left there's got obviously a bright glowing donut. I don't see that very often. But sometimes the bright lights are available, sorry, are visible in the matrix.
I was just about to say outside of the structure, right?
In fact, that photo that I showed before of the big crystal that took up the whole screen, basically, there's actually one of these visible off to the side that I hadn't noticed. So
Right.
there's so much detail that when you attend to different things, you start seeing things a bit differently. And then that's obviously a couple of those inside the matrix.
It's really interesting.
So these are I'm calling them microbots because I need a name other than structures because otherwise it gets confusing.
Sure.
But these are the microbots that we saw involved. It's just one off screen there. Involved with the construction of this structure.
Yes.
And this is a series of stills taken from a 7-hour video recording, as well as seeing the number of blue perfect spherical structures in the matrix, which is interesting in itself. These two merge, and these do merge, and I've seen this sort of thing move over time as well. These sort of parts move, but that's not particularly impressive. But I'll try and get some more impressive video. But you can certainly see how those two down the bottom merge.
And we don't know what they are.
We don't know what they are, but thus certainly similar in structure to the microbots that built their other structure. I'm gonna have to broaden my lexicon. Now there was a particular sample which had a lot of these structures in it, so I've taken quite a few photos. And these are. I think I might make a calendar. A
A calendar.
calendar. What do you reckon?
I say this with all due respect, I wouldn't want to be reminded all day, every day about the fact that this
Okay.
could be inside of people.
Maybe a t-shirt.
Okay. Just for some days.
Yeah.
Wow, so even inside, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's one right in the center of the screen there. It kind of looks like almost like a teardrop. It's got lines inside of it. You could look at the one on the bottom that looks like perhaps that's a bubble. Inside the bubble, you could, yeah. To your right, the first one, the big one that you picked, that you could say that. But the others, they're very straight lines in that one. That doesn't look like a bubble to me.
No. That one looks like a dog.
Like a dog?
Don't you reckon?
No.
This is the head and the ears and the eyes. Like a dog from the jet, flying dog from the Jetson.
You're a fascinating character. Do you mind going back, Dr. Nixon, for a second? Because
He's still trying to see the dog.
what I am seeing here is it almost looks like those arms inside of that nano robot that you showed it, that last interview that we did. It looks like straight arms inside of the doggy.
That's
Am I
funny.
right?
Yeah, it's what it looked like.
Yeah.
Definitely. It looks like the same sort of structure that was involved in that construction process.
Yes. And again, very similar sort of, it
you know,
looks
you can
like
imagine,
arms.
You can imagine that this could do the same sort of job.
Yes.
This one.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to try and anthropomorphize that.
This, again, same thing, sharp edges. I mean, the bottom left-hand corner of the screen looks like it's forming one of those more complicated arms. It's truly fascinating to look at. Do we have live footage, Dr. Nixon, of what's happening inside with those things that look like arms that are forming?
There's no movement in here at all.
At all.
If it is, it's very slow. So it's almost like this part of the process that hasn't been actioned. Like they're waiting for something. They haven't got a crystal to work on, for example.
Right.
There was no crystal in this particular space.
Well, that's interesting. That would, like you said, they don't have a crystal to work on. If there was one, then perhaps those arms would start to move and construct as we saw last time.
So we'll have to catch up in a couple of weeks, because my hope is I'll have, you know, far more construction videos to show you. That's what I'm chasing at the moment.
Most definitely.
So I'll just go back here and just quickly.
I mean, we want to do regular updates of this. This is certainly a topic that's fascinated a lot of people. Our last interview got shared and reshared. I mean, just on across my platforms alone, we're looking at over 200,000 people that viewed that. And I can imagine, you know, from there, all of the people that reshared it, because it's something that people are interested in, and they should be, because it's possible that this is inside them or inside their loved ones. So and the more that we do of this, again, the more digging we do, the more exposing of this that we do, perhaps more answers we'll get. And much like with doctors that spoke up in the early days about the dangers of the injections, my hope is that the more that we do this, Dr. Nixon, more physicians will join in on your journey of discovery.
So I'd just like to quickly show you what I did last night, which was really quite interesting. So here I've got a small powerful magnet. I prepared some Pfizer material on the slide about 6 weeks ago to dry it out. Nothing much was happening. And so I added another drop of vaccine. And this is the video of what that looked like. So I've done this type of thing lots and lots of times, where I've added drops of vaccine to dry that sample. And I've learned that the most interesting stuff happens when you've got one of these ribbons and you've got one of these blue glowing things, and you've got a well-formed crystal lattice structure.
Right.
But I've never seen what happened next before. So I thought it was really interesting, and I'll be attempting to duplicate it and
this ribbon, is this potentially a graphene ribbon?
Potentially.
Okay. Correct. And the blue lights, are these the donuts that we saw?
Yes.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, they're identical.
Right.
And these ribbon structures are also identical to the in size and appearance to what we're seeing in people's blood.
Okay.
But what I've never seen before is the appearance of these circular structures happen in this way. Bearing in mind that I had a magnet sitting off just here.
Is this the first time you've tested this with a magnet?
Yeah, it is. It says the first time, and obviously I need to repeat it.
Yes.
And do it in different ways, but it was really quite dramatic. So I zoomed in. And that's what I saw. Now, I haven't seen, I mean, you probably would have noticed from some of the previous images, there are spherical structures, but I've never seen anything as perfectly spherical as this. And you've got four perfect spheres here. And not only that, is I've taken some stills. I'll see if it'll play.
Yeah. We obviously don't know what these are.
No, but whatever they are, they appear to be magnetic.
Interesting.
Very interesting. So by taking stills, you get the idea that they move apart and then they move back together again. They appear to be sort of in that flux between repelling each other and attracting. It's like they've been pulled towards a magnet, but they're repelling each other.
That's fascinating. Mike Adams has found that these structures that are growing inside of people are mainly composed of tin and other conductive metals. And this is the structures that have been found in the bodies of those who've been injected or had blood treatment, according to Richard Hirschman. And it's made of conductive materials. I wonder whether this process that we're looking at now is what is contributing to those conductive materials forming inside of people. And are these attaching themselves to the graphene ribbon or just staying close to the graphene ribbon? It's like they're attracted to it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They certainly seem to be in close proximity.
Yes.
To it.
Well, it's fascinating stuff, Dr. Nixon. I mean, this is it's amazing to see.
Yeah, it's a cool picture. That's why I was keen to show it, because it's a neat image. But yeah, it looks like one of those, what I'd expect to see from some sort of magnetized structure that's assembling under the influence of the magnet. And so early on, prior to all of this happening, this just looked like a lattice, you know, the crystals with the black ends that we looked at last time. It didn't look any different at all. And then that evolved, which was completely new.
Did they change in size at all?
The crystals?
The bubbles, the
no, circles. No. So I'm still recording this. I can let you know what it looks like right now, actually.
Sure. Yep. Here we go in real time.
Real time. I can't actually show you, but I can tell you that it's completely unchanged.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this is fascinating again, Dr. Nixon, and you know, please do continue to keep us updated with whatever you're finding, and if you have answers or explanations. And I encourage anyone who's able to add to these findings, who you know, around the world, make contact and, you know, get in touch with Dr. Nixon and Matt and his team to contribute to what they're finding. I know Dr. Anna's talking about it in our last interview. Dr. Anna spoke about the fact that a lot of this is happening in the quantum realm, which could explain the appearing, disappearing through the frequencies of 5G, 6G. It's really out there stuff. But I dare say that the science, or let's say it said that the technological advances that we're aware of are actually nowhere near as far as the technological advances have actually gone. I mean, even if you just, I'll stop your screen share, Dr. Nixon. Even if you just look at, you know, people talking about graphene oxide, for example, or graphene. 10 years ago, they were talking about how fantastic this graphene was and how it was a miracle and, you know, was going to lead to so many scientific advancements and technological advancements. This is for people that weren't interested in these types of things 10 years ago would not have known just how far they'd actually come even back then. So I think technology is far more advanced than we have any idea about, particularly when it comes to the interaction in the quantum realm. And it's something we certainly need to look deeper into. Dr. Nixon, any final words before we leave you for now?
But I think you're right. I think we don't have, just because we don't understand where technology has got to, doesn't mean that it hasn't gone a long way further than we know. And yes. just by making the statement, there's nothing to see here, or it can't be that, or it doesn't exist, doesn't mean that it couldn't be done. So I'll keep sharing what I'm seeing without trying to make too many comments on what I think is going on, because I'm probably, but I certainly won't be, you know, correct most of the time. But it's weird. It's strange. What I'm saying.
Well, it's brave to, number one, come forward with this, and brave also to say I won't be correct all of the time, but I want to keep asking the questions. I want to keep investigating. And for that, I'm grateful, and I'm sure the world is grateful for all your efforts. Dr. Nixon, thank you so much again for all of your work.
You're welcome.
Z Media is proud to announce our limited time partnership with Gold Stackers, Australia's leading dealer of gold and silver bullion. In such uncertain times in the market, many are switching to lasting physical assets like gold and silver rather than depending on the crumbling financial system. Gold Stackers is an Aussie partner you can trust. They have a huge range of available gold and silver at competitive prices, a friendly, experienced team on standby for all of your questions, are family-owned and have been specializing in precious metals for over 40 years. They're looking forward to helping anyone that has come through Z Media. So click the link in the description below or call 1300 618 363. Let them know you've come through us and secure your wealth today.